Welcome to True Vine Talks with Rachel and Linda.
Yay, our 100th episode.
How's it
So
making you feel?
happy to still be here doing this with you, Linda.
I know. I'm so grateful for you, Rachel. Good.
Proud of us for keeping this up.
Wow, what was the date of our first podcast? You
I'd
sent it
have
to
to look. Yeah, let's find it.
She
I know it
said
was
it to me.
2019. I
Yeah.
think it was in the summer of 2019. Did you find it?
I didn't see the date stamp, but I think it was the summer before the pandemic.
Yes.
And that was the beginning of
July
a
1st. I
oh.
found it. July 1st, 2019.
Look at us. It's 2025.
Yeah.
So here we are, and we're gonna, go ahead and talk about what we like to talk about, which is relationships and how they impact us and how they can make us better or worse in life. So.
Yeah, really like the kind of foundation of why Linda and I are always talking about relationships and why they're so important. And there's a saying that like the quality of your life is as good as the quality of your relationships, and there is truth to that.
Yeah. If you don't feel seen or heard by those closest to you, you're not going to be very happy. If you feel seen and heard and cared for by those closest to you, right? You do feel more happy.
Absolutely. Meaningful, healthy relationships are one of the strongest predictors of life satisfaction and overall well-being.
Take it seriously, folks, right? Take it seriously.
Yes.
What do
I
I tell
actually,
boys? Go ahead.
no, you go ahead, please.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to veer off topic, so you continue.
I tell the boys at the group home, I care so deeply for Stepping Stones and the group home kids,
Oh, yeah.
is, I teach them seven challenges there, making choices, good choices, and bad company corrupts good behavior. That's
Ooh.
what I kind of teach that over and over again. And that comes from the Bible. And I've paraphrased it, bad company corrupts good behavior almost every time. And they're like, oh no, I can hang out with my friends and never use drugs or alcohol or anything. And is that true though? Can
As
you?
long as you have a good day every single day. But I don't know a single human being on earth that has a good day every single day. All it takes is one bad day, one moment of weakness.
And so their friends can either influence them towards good mental health or towards bad mental health. And that's something I like to emphasize with the youth. It's important to choose wisely who you hang with. So.
Yes. I'm not sure who was the first person to say this, but like you become like the five people you spend the most time with.
Yep. And are these people that you admire, or are these people you don't admire?
Yeah. Are these people that you're gonna like take their advice? You respect the choices that they are making in their own life?
Yeah. So you want people like Rachel to, always be a positive influence and encourage you to make good choices. not bad choices for yourself. The science of relationships.
Which really boils down to attachment, which we're always talking about. So when we talk about like relationships, human connection, attachment, what do we mean by that?
So I just got to attend Dr. Leanne's training yesterday on Zoom. It was so good. And
Awesome.
she says that, and like what Bowlby taught us is if you have a secure person, someone that's there for you when you're sad, scared, or hurt, and they'll pick you up and hold you tight, the world feels more safe. If you don't have that from cradle to grave, then the world feels very scary, very uneasy, very just scary, just a lot of sense of things aren't, going to be good because there's no one there.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It helps us build resilience, which is the ability to adapt and overcome challenges in life, those bad days, those really difficult moments. Yeah. When we've got mutual understanding, a sense of trust, we can adapt and overcome. We become resilient human beings.
Did you ever play tag when you were a kid?
Yes, I love this analogy.
I don't know if we've referenced it before. Maybe we have.
I'm
I don't.
glad you brought it up. Tell them all about it.
So when I was little back in the 90s, we're not telling my age or anything, we would play tag and we would decide if the swing would be the secure base where the person that's it, right? That person that's the, chasing you around, when you got to the swing set, that would you'd hold on to the bar. And the swing set was your secure base, and they couldn't tag you there. The person that's it. We called them it. You're the one chasing everyone. And when you got to the secure base, there was this sense of relief.
Safety, relief.
And you had like, we gave each other, oh, you got 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds to get off base. And then the person that's it, because everyone's on base, of course, would start counting. And we'd all look at each other and we'd have to leave the base.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Had to
Run
leave
around.
that source of protection and comfort and safety. But you knew that you could do it because you could always come back. It was temporary. Yeah.
So
And
even though
that's what a strong, healthy emotional bond is. It's like that safe space.
that's the swing set from the person that's it. And it could represent hurricanes, fires, bullies on the playground, anything
Difficult
it,
job.
yeah, sadness, any kind of thing in life, it. Whatever it is, chasing you around in life on the playground. You're trying to stay safe, but you can't get to that swing set. Then you rebuild your trust and your secure space there, kind of like getting your gas tank full.
With it, with a human being, it's oxytocin that
Thank
we
you.
get that provides that
Yes.
sense of relief, right? It's released during positive social interaction. It promotes bonding. And there's also those mirror neurons, right? That help us to know that we're being empathized with, help us connect.
And if you don't have a secure swing set base, an individual that you can hold on to and feel seen, heard, and cared for, then you don't have the proper oxytocin to go out on your playground and deal with the not so nice world and people.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a buildup of cortisol, of stress. And if we're not getting that oxytocin to help, kind of manage and reduce that and come back to baseline, there's so many negative impacts that follow. Yeah, we depend on social bonds for survival as human beings, as mammals. There is a deep-rooted need for connection in our DNA.
And if you don't have that, work hard at finding it in someone as an adult, someone safe, someone that you can trust to lean on, definitely. Because in the playground of life, there's lots of bullies. And that's the what Rachel was talking about before we came on is we've talked a whole lot about, positive bonds and what those do. But what about negative bonds you're in? People on your
Yeah.
playground that are hurting you.
Yeah. So just like, positive bonds reduce cortisol, they increase feelings of happiness, reduce anxiety and depression, provides emotional support, all these lovely things. If you don't have that and you experience chronic loneliness, and we're in a loneliness epidemic since
We
the
are.
pandemic, possibly prior, and it is impacting people's physical health. Yeah, I found out that there was a study, the Cigna study in 2020, showed that social isolation can be as harmful as smoking 15 cigarettes per day. I was shocked to read that.
Fifteen cigarettes a day, and that's poison.
Right. So that is like very similar health outcomes from social isolation, not having human connection, not having safe bonds, people that are reaching out to you, checking up on you, people that you can spend quality time with, people that empathize and understand if you're going through something.
They text you and say, "Hey, is your electric on?"
Right.
Yeah. How are you doing in the snowstorm? How's your children doing? Checking in. That's a secure base. That's a secure person you can reach and lean into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we see increased risk of anxiety and depression, physical health issues like heart disease.
A lot of, diverticulitis, the gut issues from feeling alone. Yeah. Anxiety makes you clench, so you contract all those muscles in there and you can't
Yes.
get, things don't move when you're all bound up in there.
Yes, that muscle tension. Linda and I are not medical doctors or chiropractors, so take what we're saying with a grain of salt, but we do read a lot of research articles and books. So,
Lot.
but I'm just saying, if we get the wording slightly wrong, please don't hold it against us. But
Yeah.
yeah, that muscle tension from that anxiety and stress leads to put your spine's out of whack or your shoulders out of whack, and long longevity, that's not good. And people experience chronic pain. That's hard to treat, hard, difficult to cure.
Yeah. So having positive, what Rachel's telling us is having positive, secure bonds is what makes us thrive physically, emotionally, spiritually,
Yeah, it's like it's a preventative medicine if you think about it that way. Healthy
Yeah.
relationships, I view as preventative medicine.
Yes.
They will keep you healthy. They will help you live longer. They will increase the happiness and satisfaction of your life.
Yeah. Pursue them or create them.
Yes.
Or shape the ones you're already in into more positive ones.
Right.
If there's willingness there on both parties.
How would somebody go about creating healthy relationships, like cultivating connection if they currently don't have it?
Yeah. So you're talking about within your home or outside of your home?
Either just in general in life, how would someone build stronger bonds?
Yeah. So you're going to actively pursue that because you see you have an unmet need for secure relationships. And you could say, well, where could I go to get that? If you have a particular religious ceremony that you attend regularly, you could reach out to someone in one of those classes and be like, hey, I'd like to go to coffee. What, are you available? I'd love to have someone to just chit chat with and, create a secure bond there. You could do that. I encourage people join a gym if you can afford that. There's some low cost gyms in the area, and find some people that are mindful about their health. Because if you don't have anything in common with these people, there's not going to be a friendship. You've got to find people who have similar beliefs and ideas about how to live.
Yeah, similar interests, similar values. Yeah. So first step is you've got to put yourself in a position where you're around people, right? You gotta put yourself out there, which can be vulnerable and scary because we're naturally afraid of rejection and judgment.
Thank you for saying that, Rachel. Yes, there is a protector part inside of all of us that says, these people aren't going to understand me. They're going to judge me for coming into this yoga class. I'm not very bendy. Not very bendy. So, you have these internal thoughts like, I'm going to do it anyway, see what happens. And then, like you said, after putting yourself out there, lean into one person that you feel like, oh, there's some good vibes here. I feel some good energy connection. Hey, I'm Linda. What's your name?
Right, say hello or smile, right? Yeah, because healthy relationships, positive connection actually reduces our fear of rejection and judgment over time. So when we feel safe and accepted and we have a sense of belonging with someone, right? Then we tend to, over time, not worry as much about what Joe Schmo thinks, because my friend Sally over here, she gets me. She loves
Right.
me anyway.
She talks about how cool I am, how funny.
We always have a good time together.
She likes to dance like me, so we're good.
That's right.
Rachel and I like to dance.
Love dancing.
We
Yes.
do.
Yeah.
She'll
So
get back in it with me eventually. We'll get into it.
eventually, once I'm out of this infancy stage of motherhood,
Okay.
have the energy to dance.
Yeah.
But so that, step one, putting yourself out there. Step two, there's a layer of vulnerability, sharing your authentic self, sharing your thoughts and feelings builds trust in people. And a lot of people have a fear or avoidance of emotion, which prevents them from being vulnerable and being authentic.
And when you share, hey, it made me really sad that the dogs were getting lost in Cali. I got really upset and sad, Rachel, when I saw that on the news
Oh,
clip. And
yeah.
see how Rachel's responding to me. She's empathizing and reflecting. Aw, That makes my nervous system calm. So Rachel's showing me that she cares, and I feel safe right now. Being vulnerable.
Vulnerability is how you get empathy.
Yep.
Someone showing you they have the ability to understand how you're feeling. And that is what strengthens emotional bonds. It's what takes it to a deeper, more meaningful level. People do not feel as satisfied in a relationship when the conversation is surface level. They feel much more satisfied and they feel like they have a deeper connection, right? If they have what people refer to as heart to hearts, right? Those people will say, "Oh man, me and so and so, we had this heart to heart. We really opened up to one another, and I just feel like I really know them so much better. Like we really bonded." Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
That's what feels good. And then if I had told Rachel, if we just sort of role played it out, Rachel, I feel really, really sad and disheartened about the dogs, and she responds in a negative way, which might look like,
I mean, they're just dogs. You got to worry about them people. I feel bad for those people losing their homes. That's what I feel bad about.
and Rachel just did what?
Totally just dismissed you.
Yep. And when I'm doing couples therapy, and that, like, the individual gets really soft and says, "Well, I just felt really hurt and sad when you were gone for all that time." And then the partner says, "Well, I had to work. What do you think I'm going to do?" So they like discount the person's vulnerability. And that's when you get into, "Oh, this is not healthy. This isn't."
Defensiveness and not engaging in active listening will rupture a bond. It prevents connection. And active listening is when you're listening to understand. You're listening with the intention to empathize, not just listening to respond. Like, oh, you're talking and I have to give you a response, to keep this conversation going or so you don't feel ignored. It takes more than that.
And Carl Rogers taught us this in our techniques class, which I'm teaching at Marshall this semester, which is fun, is
Yay.
unconditional regard. You can tell me anything, Rachel. I'm not going to judge you. Tell me anything.
Right. Listening with a sense of curiosity is how I like to think of that. I think I tell people curiosity leads to connection. Because if you could say something that I don't understand right off the bat, you could say, "I haven't been getting my mail and it's ticking me off."
Now, I did say that.
I do understand it though, when I was using that as an example. I go, "Tell me more about that. Tell me more about
Well,
how I'm not
let me
getting my
tell
mail."
you.
Do tell me. I feel
10
detached from
days.
the world. I want my Amazon packages.
I want my first world issue resolved, please. Yes. Well, it's more than that. I had a check in the mail, and I'm just hope it gets here today. How about that?
So I'm like, ooh,
Yeah.
you want paid.
I
You
want
want that
paid.
relief of having that money in your account.
That's
That
right.
makes sense. That makes sense.
See how she's active listening to me. She's validating my experience. She's not like, "Well, tough shit. Everyone was without me." She didn't cuss at me or yell at me. It's active listening. You wouldn't believe what people will tell you if you just tune in and lean into their, "Oh, Rachel, what's it been like to be in the infancy part of your motherhood? What has that been like for you?"
You say, "I'm not used to this level of lack of sleep, although it is getting better. Only woke up one time last night." I feel like a new woman.
He feels like a new woman.
I could dance today.
She could go
Yes.
dancing with me
In
tonight.
the freezing temperatures.
Go out in the 5-degree temperature. It'd be okay.
Yeah, well. I think unless someone, because we do talk about there are some people out there that just are not safe. They are unhealthy, that they don't know how to empathize, all that. That we don't, we steer clear of, we create space. But overall, I like to think of all people as good, or most people, right? So if you go into a conversation assuming that this person is good, you're naturally going to lead with curiosity. Whereas if you don't do that and you hear someone, mad about their mail or their lack of sleep or whatever, you might think like, ugh, you're just being spoiled and dramatic. But if you're curious, and you listen intently to understand, you will realize, wow, this person has every understandable right and reason, right, for how they're feeling. It really does make sense.
You said it so well. Now, if you grew up with trauma and you didn't have a secure attachment, the swing set to go to, you will be sus of people, suspicious. And you may have approach avoidance style, right? And our approach avoidant. Oh, I want to approach, but I'm a little scared that they might reject me or they might hurt me.
That will be your kind of knee-jerk reaction, so to speak. But it's important that people know that it's love, kindness, and connection that heals trauma. Isolation, disconnection, and loneliness perpetuate trauma. And so people
Thank
find themselves in that loop, unfortunately, where they're trying to protect themselves and they socially isolate and they don't realize that they are self-sabotaging, they are perpetuating their own trauma.
Well said. So move out of that and get curious about other people. And when you reflect and listen to other people, you think less about your own stuff, right? You don't get too caught up in your own self, and that can lead to improved empathy on your part, and it's going to release oxytocin for you. It's gonna be like, oh, I can get curious about someone else's problems, and that sounds a lot lighter for me to think about. Like, oh, well, they've got stuff too, and I'm not alone here. Life is hard.
So what we're saying is like connection can be cultivated intentionally with small, consistent change. Being vulnerable, putting yourself out there, empathizing with people. Prioritizing quality time without distractions. There's a lot of distraction these days. We've all got a phone.
Oh, yeah. Nothing wears heavier on my nerves than taking my young people to dinner and them pulling out the phone. And this is a nice dinner place. I'm like, guys, let's put those away and do some mirror neuron exchange. We don't do a lot of formal dinners, so how about we connect here? The phone is a distraction to your own nervous system, your needs for connection.
What is that? It's an attachment like research study that we talk about a lot with like the still face. Is it called the still face experiment? Is that what it is? I'm
Can
not
you spell?
sure. I'd have to look it up, but it's when they have the I know you know this. I'm saying this for the listeners. I don't want you to think I'm like Belittling your intelligence. I'm aware
Oh,
Linda
not at
knows this.
all.
But
Not at all.
yeah, so they have a baby and they have a caregiver and they have the caregiver temporarily go flat affect, just kind of like a zoned out look, staring ahead. And it upsets the baby. The baby gets agitated and they'll start kind of acting out to get the parents' attention, be like, you know, this makes me uncomfortable. Are you okay? And then they'll have the parents smile and engage with eye contact with the baby, and the baby noticeably, it's like, ah, oh, relieved. You know, I think that cell phones give that effect present day, because when we're looking at our phone, we're flat affect scrolling,
Yeah.
right? Kind of checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Detached. Headphones, not like when you're doing a podcast or you're listening to learn. When people put headphones on, they're also detaching from their environment.
Yes, like walking around, like at the gym or on campus or where, yeah, the
Your
park.
pods are in, and it's like, I'm not going to connect with people. I'm going to connect with the device. The problem with the, device is it's giving you dopamine, right? But it's not giving you mirror neuron exchange, human to human. No.
Yeah. We understand as counselors that, like, these are for a lot of people the protective habits, right? So
Right.
they feel like they're in a bubble, protected, you know, because of that fear of rejection, fear of judgment, right? Discomfort with emotional vulnerability.
Yeah.
And it's
So
okay to sh shrink into your turtle shell and protect yourself some of the time. We don't want to completely take that away from you. We're just saying maybe push yourself out of that comfort zone a little bit every now and then for practice. See what happens. And the more positive experiences you have outside of that comfort zone, the more likely you'll be to widen your window of tolerance, as we say.
That's exactly right. Yeah, leaning into social interactions to build that tolerance, like what Rachel's saying there. And then you'll get better at it and better at it. Yeah. Well, do you think there's anything else we'd like to share to our listeners today, Rachel, in our 100th podcast?
Yeah, I think I would just like to say it's not about quantity, it's about quality when it comes to your relationships. Sometimes people will tell me, "Why, well, you know, I don't have a lot of friends. I only have like two friends." That's great. That's great as long as those two friends that you have are high quality friends. You can trust and depend on them no matter what. Two's all you need. Really,
Oh,
one's all you need.
truly. Yeah. So be bold, be brave, be courageous, and cultivate and look for positive social connection. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have trauma and you need us to work with your inner child parts and help you with your protectors that want to keep you isolated, certainly, you can email us or go to our website, www.truebindwv.com, and we have some counselors with availability. So we'd love to help you.
Some fantastic counselors.
The
Yes.
best. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks everyone for listening. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.